You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News is next. The time is 10 p.m.
CBS News, Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau says Canada will continue exporting atomic reactors even though safeguards against misuse are not foolproof. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The story from Jim Bradbury in Ottawa.
Prime Minister Trudeau told the Canadian Nuclear Association meeting in Ottawa that even though safeguards are not foolproof, a nuclear power such as Canada must not deny developing countries access to modern technology to help them improve their standard of living.
Unless the disadvantaged countries are given the opportunity to pass from the medieval economic state in which many of them now find themselves into the 20th century of accomplishment and productivity, the gap between rich and poor will never narrow. In that process, we must assist them to leapfrog the Industrial Revolution.
Trudeau says there isn't any inconsistency in the government's efforts to sell reactors abroad, while at the same time it tries to prevent nuclear proliferation. He says Canada is doing its best to ensure both objectives are attained. Jim Bradbury for CBS News, Ottawa.
Declaring the U.S. arms embargo both unjust and wrong in all respects, the Turkish government has demanded that the United States open negotiations on the future of American bases in Turkey. A note delivered to the U.S. Embassy in Ankara ordered the negotiations begin within 30 days. It said that if action is not taken to initiate the talks, the U.S. military installations will be subjected to a new situation. There was no elaboration. The 20 American bases in Turkey are important both as a southeastern buttress of the North Atlantic Alliance and as monitors of Soviet naval movements. More CBS News after this.
Most people's biggest investment is their home, but their second biggest investment is their car. So protect it with Quaker State, the number one selling motor oil. Regular changes with Quaker State can help reduce costly engine repairs. Made from Pennsylvania-grade crude oil, you'll find it more places than ever. Your second biggest investment is well worth the investment in Quaker State.
Quaker State, your car, to keep it running young.
Hearts wants to round up every brown woman in town and run them out before they run your dog down.
Roundworms can strike your dog or cat. Get rid of them safely with the Hearts once a month wormer. Add it to your pet's dinner every 30 days, then it'll round up those roundworms and keep them away for good.
Get Hearts once a month wormer at your favorite store and help your dog to be roundworm free evermore.
The Hearts once a month wormer for dogs and cats.
Freshman Democratic congressmen will meet with House Speaker Carl Albert Wednesday. They will outline a series of proposals developed Tuesday night in an effort to strengthen the Democratic Congress. Representative Peter Tsongas of Massachusetts.
The discussion with the Speaker will be the items of, one, that there should be a spokesman for the Congress on some of these issues, the five-day work week, which we've discussed before, and the other items in terms of how we operate, the strategy that we should have, a basic democratic package. We've tried to make this a very constructive approach, that we do think we have something to say.
Congressman Tsongas, most of the young Democrats say the proposals were developed out of frustration over failure to get democratic programs enacted. A volcano in Costa Rica erupted Tuesday. Two people were killed and several others are missing. The volcano is about 100 miles northwest of the capital of San Jose. The American Medical Association has approved a resolution supporting the repeal of criminal laws regulating private sexual behavior. The measure says the AMA supports repeal of laws which classify as criminal any form of non-commercial sexual conduct between consenting adults in private. The delegates to the association convention also agreed that doctors have a right to withhold certain non-emergency services as a means of protest. The decision came after a lengthy and sometimes tangled debate. Mayor William McNichols won re-election tonight in Denver. It was a runoff election because no candidate collected 50% of the vote last May. More CBS News after this.
See if you can identify these sounds. Squeaky door? Lion growling. A motor scooter. Cow mooing? Spanish dancer. If you agreed with these guesses, you've been fooled, because each sound was made by a whale. That's right, a great big blubbery old whale just buzzing and clicking and grunting away deep down in the ocean. The National Audubon Society has joined a world effort to save these amazing animals from extinction. We need your help. To find out what you can do, write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
Four of the nation's largest sugar refiners have dropped the wholesale price of a five-pound bag of grocery store sugar to $1.23 from the current $1.37 a bag. The House Ways and Means Committee has agreed to consider a sweeping set of complex and controversial tax revisions this year. Chairman Al Alderman says he hopes to have a tax reform bill on the floor by October. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. Chance for a few showers, periods of partial clearing through Thursday, a bit warmer. The highs, upper 60s tomorrow, about 70 Thursday, lows near 50. 40% chance of rain tonight, 30% tomorrow. 57 degrees currently downtown, barometer steady, it reads 29.96. Taking a look at sports, Major League Baseball activity in the National League. Chicago beat Philadelphia 9-5, St. Louis dumped Pittsburgh 7-4. Montreal over New York 6-5 in the first game. New York won the second 5-2. Atlanta beat Cincinnati 5-1 and Los Angeles 6, Houston 1. In the American League, Oakland over Minnesota twice with scores of 4-2 and 8-7. Milwaukee beat New York 4-3 in the first game. The Yankees won the second 4-2. Baltimore defeated Cleveland, Boston 7, Detroit 6, Kansas City 3, California 2. And Chicago 13, Texas 3. It's 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. The administration of justice requires absolutely that certain men render judgment on other men. It seems to me that these judges can become so burdened by this responsibility that their lives become very nearly insupportable, provided they are men of conscience. And the man whose story we now bring you is indeed a man of conscience. And his life, at this time, well nigh insupportable.
For heaven's sake, Jack, keep your voice down. He'll hear you.
He knows how I feel.
Then why keep after him about it?
I'm warning him. Don't you understand that? Doesn't anybody understand that? Doesn't he?
I think you can leave it up to him to decide.
No, I can't. Because he doesn't know. He doesn't realize the man must die. The man has got to die.
Our mystery drama, The Man Must Die, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars William Prince and Christopher Tabori. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
There are times when you feel like rolling, when the whole world's standing by, and you know just where you're going, and you know you're riding high. When the rest of the world is flying, you hit the road and you climb. 'Cause you're a free spirit, one of a kind.
A Buick isn't just A to B transportation. It's a means of expressing yourself, a way to live life on your terms. And that's why we make so many different kinds of Buicks, all shapes, all sizes. From Buick's Opel all the way up to Buick Electra. There are sedans, coupes, hatchbacks, two doors, four doors, even a three-door wagon. The 1975 Buicks. They give you all sorts of free-spirited ways to ride out the times with style. For you, that's important.
A way of life, each one of
late Honorable Joseph Bailey is 50 years old, has a wife and a son, Jack, age 18. The judge is a man of both strength and sensitivity, a fine combination in anyone, but most especially in a man who holds and must exercise the power to dispose of the futures and sometimes the very lives of others. We first meet Judge Bailey at a time when his life has become almost insupportable.
And don't eat so fast, Joe. You know what it does to you.
I don't want any more coffee, Ellen.
Why not? What's the matter with it?
Nothing's the matter with it. I just don't want any more.
But you always have two cups.
Well, this morning I don't.
Oh. This is the day, isn't it?
This is the day.
I know you've been dreading it.
You can say that again.
Well, now, dear, don't you think that just because this is the day, you should start it off right? Now, relax and enjoy your breakfast and, well, maybe a good brisk walk to the courthouse.
I was planning on walking.
It's a lovely day. Joseph, don't eat so fast. Now, heaven.
I want to get started.
But it's early. You don't want to hang around down there, do you?
No. I don't want to hang around here either.
Why not? Oh, because of him.
Because of him.
I don't think he's even out of bed yet.
Oh, yes, he is. I heard him moving around.
Well, in that case, but I don't know what you're going to do with your time. Court doesn't begin until 10.
I'll get some coffee.
Oh, it breaks my heart to have you drink cheap coffee when you could be drinking mine.
I'll do some reading in my chambers.
You're too wrought up to do any reading, I can tell.
Well, I'll do something. Anything's better than being here when Jack comes downstairs. I simply cannot go through that one more time. I cannot.
Well, you'd better hurry. I think I hear him.
Where's my coat?
It's in the closet. Where else would it be?
Oh, yes.
Now, don't brood.
No, I won't.
You always do the right thing.
Well, I'm glad you think so.
Bye, dear. Now, take care.
Father!
You talk to
I
him.
Will.
Father!
Sneaked off, didn't he?
Now, that's no way to talk about your father, Jack.
Didn't want to face me.
Come now, have your breakfast.
Didn't want to listen to me.
Your father has heard enough out of you, Jack. I shouldn't have to remind you that your father is quite capable of making his decisions without your help. He's done it on his own for a good many years.
This man's a murderer.
I know that, and your father knows that. It's not the first murder trial your father's presided over.
What's he decided? Is it going to be death or the penitentiary?
Well, I have no idea what he's decided. I don't even know that he has decided. He may very well be thinking it over. That's probably what he's doing right now.
But he must have given you some idea which way he's leaning.
Eat your eggs, Jack, before they get cold.
Hasn't he?
No.
I don't believe you.
I don't like to be talked to that way, Jack. Now, eat your eggs.
You mean he hasn't said anything to you? About an important case like this?
Well, your father never discusses any of his cases with me, important or unimportant, until they're disposed of.
But this case, a man murdering his father.
All I know about it is what I've read in the papers. And the man wasn't his father. He was his adoptive father.
Same thing.
Well, it's not even clear that the man adopted him. He took him from the orphanage at age 14 and put him to work on his farm as he had done with three other boys before and did with two more after.
Well, yes, but he raised them, gave them a home, and...
Yes, and he never had to pay a cent to a hired hand. You ever think of that part of it?
Are you trying to say it was all right to bash his head in with a shovel just because he made his kids do a little work?
Of course I'm not saying that it was all right.
You're on his side, aren't you?
Whose side, for heaven's sake?
Father's side.
Your father isn't on any side.
You think the murderer should get away with it?
Jack, I refuse to discuss this with you. I absolutely refuse. I don't blame your father for running out of the house.
Well, that's what he did, isn't it? Ran out.
Because he didn't want to listen to another one of your harangues, and I don't want to hear another one either. Now, this is your father's decision. It is part of his job.
Todd's mother. Mother!
For heaven's sake, what is it?
He brought me from the courtroom. Can you imagine that?
Yes.
Do you know he was going to do that?
No.
He had no right.
Oh, he had every right. It's his courtroom.
What was he afraid of?
Well, you know perfectly well what he was afraid of, that you'd make a scene. And probably you would have the state you've been in.
I feel very strongly about this. That man should be punished for taking a life.
He will be.
He should give his own life in exchange for the life he took.
Well, you know what the Supreme Court said about
that. I don't care what the Supreme Court said. 20 states permit capital punishment, and ours is one of them.
20 states are trying to get around the Supreme Court decision. Now, it remains to be seen.
The very least Father could have done is go on record that he's against the Supreme Court and for the state law.
Well, maybe he will.
He better.
Well, you'd better watch how you talk about your father. And watch your attitude toward him, too.
When will he be home?
I don't know. He didn't say.
The sentence will be in the afternoon paper.
Yes, I imagine so.
What time does that come out?
About noon, something like that.
It's almost 11:30. I'm going out to buy one.
Oh, Jack, for heaven's sake, it's not out yet. Not for half an hour at least. Now, darling, sit down, cool off.
I can't.
Why in the world is this case so important to you? I can't for the life of me figure it out.
Don't you understand? The whole mess we're in, the whole mess the world is in, you did it.
Me? I did it?
Oh, no, not you personally. Your generation.
Oh.
The generation of permissiveness. Bleeding hearts, understanding, tolerance, all that bilge. You swallowed it whole, you poisoned the world with all that compassion stuff. You raised me on it.
I never saw anything wrong with the way we raised you.
When I flunked out of college, you sent me to Paris, to art school.
Didn't you like Paris or art school?
Of course I liked it. That's not the point.
Well, what is the point?
I wasn't supposed to flunk out of school.
No, but you did. What were we supposed to do about it?
You weren't supposed to let me get away with it.
But you'd already gotten away with it. You're back in school now. I don't see that any harm was done.
That's not the point. It's the principle of the thing. Nobody is supposed to get away with anything.
Oh, Jack. Oh, I'd hate to have that principle applied to everything I've done.
I'm going out to see if that afternoon paper's on the stand.
It isn't.
Well, if it isn't, I'll go back to the courthouse. Somebody down there ought to be able to tell me what happened.
Now, Jack. Oh.
Jack, you came home. May I come in?
Yes, sure. Sure.
Well, you want to know what the sentence was?
Of course I want to know.
20 years to life.
You didn't...
I didn't sentence him to death. No, I didn't. Now I'm going upstairs and lie down.
Wait a minute. Wait one little minute.
Jack, please.
You can spare me a minute, can't you?
I suppose I can.
How do you justify what you did?
You mean not sending the man to be killed?
He can get out of jail in 20 years, you know.
If he behaves himself, I know.
He can get out and kill somebody else?
But I don't think he will.
You don't think? You're willing to take a chance because you don't think he will?
Well, what else can I go on but my own judgment?
How do you know he won't kill somebody?
I don't. Any more than I know I won't. Or you won't. Or anybody else won't. Except possibly your mother, and I can't give you any guarantee about her if it comes to that. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like...
You've done a terrible thing. I don't think so.
And you're going to regret it.
I hope not.
Well, you will. You'll see. When you're responsible for another murder, you're going to be very, very sorry for what you've done.
Jack, please.
If he kills somebody else, you'll be responsible. You'll be the murderer yourself. You know that, don't you?
Jack, stop it. It's all been decided. It's over. Now, there's nothing more to be said or done.
Nothing more to be said or done.
That's right.
Nothing more to be said. Nothing more to be done.
Nothing, dear. So...
we'll see. We'll just wait and see about that.
Arguments between parents and their children are nothing new. Actually, they dominate the years the children are growing up. It is not until the child has left the parents' home and has his own home, produced his own children, that the passion subsides and the arguments turn into discussions. And even then, there smolders beneath the acquired courtesy and the polished tact, the ancient hostilities and the basic antagonisms of the earlier years. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Morning, Greenhaven State Prison.
Look carefully at the metric measurements on the foods you buy. They may seem bewildering at first, but they make a lot more sense than the system of measurement we're currently using. For example, right now, fluid measures are expressed in gallons, quarts, and pints. Dry measures are expressed in bushels, pecks, dry quarts, and pints. And a dry quart is 16% larger in volume than a liquid quart. By using the metric system, however, you only need to know one unit of measurement for liquid volume, the liter. All other fluid measurements are multiples of the liter. And similarly, dry volumes are measured by the gram and multiples of the gram. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system.
Nearly a month has passed since Judge Joseph Bailey sentenced a confessed murderer to 20 years to life. A month since his son Jack denounced him as worse than irresponsible for not having sent the murderer to his death. Since his wife Helen said to their son, "There's nothing more to be said, nothing more to be done." A month since the boy replied, "Wait and see." Since that day, an unidentifiable mood has permeated the Bailey home. A mood which neither mother, nor father, nor son can break.
You need more butter.
Oh, I can make this do.
Oh, muffins need plenty of butter.
Helen, why doesn't Jack come down for breakfast anymore?
Oh, really? It's up to him, Joseph. We can't make him.
A month ago, I was avoiding him, and now he's avoiding me.
Well, ever since the sentencing of that man.
He's been different. Don't bother to deny it. He's been completely different.
I wasn't going to deny it, though. Maybe I wouldn't say completely. He's been different.
I thought by now...
I thought so, too.
I'll be in my study if you want me. I have some briefs to go over. Probably take all morning.
Well, I won't want you because I'm finally going to put up those peaches that I bought a week ago, or they'll go bad.
See you around lunchtime.
Yes.
Mother!
Oh, Jack, you startled me.
Sorry.
My hands full of dishes and everything. Don't you sneak up on me when I have my hands full of dishes. Don't ever do that again.
Okay, I won't ever do that again.
And pour yourself some coffee, dear. Oh, and there's muffins, but you'll need butter. I'll bring it.
Mother, sit down a minute.
I want to clear the table.
I want to tell you something. Oh, come on. Put the dishes down.
Oh, dear. Well, all right. What is it?
I've made up my mind about something.
Oh, what's that?
I'm going to see that man.
What man?
That murderer. You know which one.
That man is in jail.
Well, of course he's in jail. Father put him there.
Why do you want to see him?
I want to ask him a few things.
Like what?
Oh, how he feels, walking around alive after he's killed a man, eating and sleeping and enjoying life.
I rather doubt that he's enjoying life.
Well, he's living, isn't he? And the man he killed isn't.
Jack, you realize, don't you, that this man has gotten to be an obsession with you?
Well, no, it's not the man. It's the fact that he's alive. I want to know if he's feeling any remorse for what he did, if he regrets it, if he feels any sense of guilt at all.
I think you can take it for granted that he feels all those things.
Oh, but how do I know? For sure, unless I ask him.
I'm sure your father won't approve.
I can't help that.
Well, when are you planning to go to see this man?
I thought now.
Today?
This morning.
Oh, Jack, you've got to think about it.
I've thought about it for weeks.
Jack, please, now, please, don't rush into this. Please, talk to your father or somebody. Don't just go tearing off.
Sorry. I'll be back sometime.
What makes you think they'll even let you in?
Why, I'm the son of the Right Honorable Joseph Bailey. That ought to get me in anywhere, don't you think? Except, of course, into his precious courtroom.
Jack, wait. Let me ask him.
Sorry.
Jack! Oh. Joseph?
Yes, Helen?
I had to disturb you, dear.
Well, that's all right.
Darling, Jack came downstairs right after you came in here.
Well, didn't I just hear him
go
out?
Yes, and that's why I had to disturb you. You'll never guess where he's gone. He's gone to see that man. You know, the murderer. He's gone down to the jail to talk to him.
Talk to him? About what?
About his feelings, he said. Whether he feels sorry that he did what he did, whether he feels remorse or guilt, all that. Joseph, I tried to stop him, but I really didn't quite realize till the very last minute that he actually meant it. That he meant to go now. He hardly listened to me, and before I knew it, he was out the door.
Don't worry about it, Ellen. They won't let him in.
They won't? Oh, I wondered about that.
Well, of course they won't.
He seemed to think that being your son, all he had to do was mention your name.
I don't think my name impresses the warden too much.
Oh.
Not in his own bailiwick, where he makes the rules.
Well, it's a relief. Another thing that worried me, I didn't think if they did let him in, that the man would be too happy to talk to him. Not if he knew how Jack felt about his... Well, about his being put away instead of being executed.
He might refuse to see him.
heard him. He said it was his first manly act. That's what he called it. Manly.
Well, that hardly seems possible.
He said he'd never felt so much like himself. In fact, he said it was the only time he'd felt like himself. His true self, he said.
That's very strange. That's a strange way to talk.
He's about my age. A little older, maybe a year or two. He's got brown eyes and brown hair. And he sat there looking at me, right in the eye, and telling me that the murder was the crowning achievement of his life.
He didn't mean it.
If you heard him, you wouldn't say that. Oh, yes. He meant it all right. He really meant it.
He upset you, didn't he?
It wasn't exactly what I'd hoped he'd say.
Why don't you go upstairs and lie down for a bit? I'll call you when lunch is ready.
I think I'll do that. Yes, I think I'll do that. Call me for lunch.
I will. Now, get a little rest. You hear me?
Yes, I hear.
Joseph, it's me. I have to talk to you.
Come in, dear.
Joe, they let him in. They let him in. The warden let Jack in to see that man.
He did. Well, I must say I'm very surprised and not at all pleased.
Joe, that's not the worst of it. It's what the man said to Jack.
What did he say?
Why, incredible things. He said that the killing was the only manly act of his life, the only thing he ever felt good about, his crowning achievement.
My word.
Joe, he said it was his first manly act.
Perhaps for him it was.
But Joe, how can you talk like that?
I didn't say I considered it a manly act. I said it's quite possible that he did.
Well, I wish that he hadn't chosen it to say to our son. Jack said that he showed no remorse whatsoever. Can you imagine?
Why should he show remorse if he didn't feel any?
Oh, well, I simply don't understand you at all. I really don't.
Well, he was very badly treated by the man he killed.
And that's an excuse for murder? I declare I'm beginning to see Jack's point. You should have sentenced him to death if that's his attitude. Why, if everybody felt that way, if everybody spent his life getting even with everybody who was unkind
not
to him...
Not everybody, Helen.
Well, all I know is that Jack is very upset. He came home as though he'd been rocked to his very soul. He was not himself at all.
Where is he now?
Well, I told him to go upstairs and then lie down for a while, and he said he thought he would. Joe, don't be unkind to him. Please.
I won't be unkind.
I know that you've been terribly annoyed with him these past few weeks, keeping after you all the time about the trial, about the sentence, but...
At the moment, I'm a lot more annoyed with the warden at the prison for letting Jack talk to that man. I can't imagine what he was thinking of. Look, you go back to your kitchen. I'm going to call the warden and chew him out a little.
All right. And don't forget, when Jack comes downstairs, be kind to him.
Don't worry, I'll be kind.
Good.
Come in. Oh, Jack. Come in.
You're busy.
Oh, no, not at all. I was going to make a phone call, but that can wait. Sit down, son.
I think I'd rather stand up, if you don't mind.
Your mother just told me that you went to the jail.
Yes, to see the man.
And they let you see him?
Of course. I walked right in.
Oh, come now. It's not that easy to see any prisoner, let alone a convicted murderer.
Well, it was for me.
I can't really say that I approve of your going there in the first place. And in the second place, I very strongly disapprove of the warden letting you in. And I'm very unhappy about what the man said to you.
Mother told you?
Yes.
I was going to tell you myself, because I wanted you to see what you've done.
What I've done?
You let a murderer live. If he kills somebody else, it'll be your fault. You turned him loose.
Now, Jack, I didn't turn him loose. On the phone.
Now let it ring.
What?
Never mind about the phone. Mother will answer it in the kitchen.
I suppose she will.
You and I have got something more important to take care of.
Now, Jack, that's not a gun you have there, is it?
It's a gun, all right.
Well, put it down. For heaven's sake.
I told you. I told you a month ago what a terrible thing you were doing. And you went ahead and did it.
Jack. Jack.
Joseph, the telephone's
for you. Helen, be careful.
What is it? Are you all right?
I'm all right.
Jack! Jack! Oh, my Lord, Jack!
I told you. Didn't I tell you?
Joseph. Joseph, has he gone mad? Joseph, is our son gone mad?
What is madness? When does the moment arrive when it is wholly evident? Who is to call it madness? And who is to call it revelation? How long may it last? And can it ever go away? Does it hide? Or is it imprisoned? Or is it disguised in a million minor ways? Till the day when it springs into full view. And when it appears, who is to recognize it and call it madness? I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
I can't find a decent job. I mean, it's not like I haven't tried. There must be somebody who wants me, but I can't find him.
In this entire city, now, there must be one person I can hire with the qualifications I'm looking for. Well, why can't I find him?
There's a fast, modern employment service bringing people and jobs together. Job service. Last year, we filled over 4 million jobs. In 40 years, we've never charged a fee. We use computers, personal interviews, anything that puts the right person in the right job. If you don't have a job, or you're in the wrong job, or you're looking for someone to do a job, call Job Service, or you may never find each other.
We're working to get people working. Jobs for people, people for jobs.
For Job Service, contact your state employment service. A message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Labor.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
It's a great mistake to think of all young people as radical and all their parents as conservative. The story we are presenting here concerns a judge who chose to spare the life of an acknowledged murderer and his son who passionately asserted that the man should be put to death. So passionate was his conviction that he was driven to threatening his father with a gun. And a few moments ago, we heard shots. Shots from the gun held by the judge's son.
Orton Keyes, yeah? Who? Judge Bailey? What? Yes, ask him to come right in. Oh, what on earth are you supposed to... Oh, come in, Judge. Come on in.
Thank you, Warden.
Will you have a chair?
Thank you. I should have phoned you before barging in like this,
but... Oh, there's no harm
done. Warden Keyes. Why, in the name of common sense, Did you let my son see that man?
Now, wait a minute, Judge Bailey.
At least you could have called and asked me.
Well, I did call you.
You certainly did not.
I did, and your wife answered the phone. She told me you were working in your study, and she didn't want to disturb you.
What in the world was the idea of letting
him... I didn't. Jack never saw the man.
He didn't?
No. He seemed very disturbed when he showed up here. Not normal at all. And he couldn't give me any logical reason why he should be allowed to talk to the man, so of course I didn't give my permission.
No one else could have let him...
No, no. My word is law here, Judge.
Well, I owe you an apology, Warden Geese.
Oh, not at all. It's perfectly all right. But, what made you think that Jack did talk to the man? Did he say he had?
Well, he told his mother some story, and she told me. I should have checked right away instead of... Well, no matter now, I do apologize, Warden.
You know, Judge Bailey, I might have let him in just because he's your son. I say might have. Except that he was so overwrought. Plus the fact that he had a gun. It was in his pocket, very poorly concealed. We spotted it the minute he walked in. Your son doesn't know too much about guns, I take it.
I didn't even know he had one.
They're easy enough to pick up, unfortunately. Of course, I asked him what he planned to do with it.
What did he say?
Told me it was none of my business, and then he ran out of here. That was when I called you and talked to your wife, and, well, as I told you.
Yes.
And I did call back several times, but we always got a busy signal. I suppose your wife must have left the phone off the hook.
Yes, she must have.
I figured something happened, and she just forgot.
That's right. Something happened. She forgot. Warden Keyes, I'm going to ask a favor of you, a great favor. If you feel you can't grant it, please say so, and I'll understand.
Oh, anything I can do, Judge Bailey, I will do.
I want to talk to this man.
Ah, well, now, wait a minute.
I know I shouldn't ask, and I wouldn't, except that... Well, it's terribly important to me. I don't ask to see him for more than, 5 minutes, perhaps. It shouldn't take more than that.
And I don't know, I really...
It's more important to me than I can possibly explain, Warden. I wish I could explain, but at the moment I can't. Perhaps one day, I don't know.
Minutes?
Have my word.
Okay. You know, I'd like to know sometime what you think of him. Personally, I like him. You stay right here, I'll have him brought in.
You know who I am?
I should, don't you think?
Oh, yes, that was a silly thing to say. Look, we only have 5 minutes. I promised the warden. So if you don't mind, I'd like to come straight to the point.
Yes, sure, okay.
I have a son about your age. He, didn't agree with the 20 to life I gave you. He thought you should have been given the death penalty.
Oh, really?
His name is Jack. Jack grew really exercised about it as the trial went on. Very, very vehement. Got so I avoided speaking to him for fear he'd bring it up. I didn't want to argue with him, and I didn't want him to take the chance of his influencing me in the slightest.
Huh. I guess you've earned your reputation. I mean, like, you really are a good judge.
I actually barred him from the courtroom on the day I handed down my decision. And that made him even more agitated, more hostile. And then came the day, you'd been locked up here about a month, I guess, when he told his mother that he was going to come here to see you.
Yeah, what for?
I don't know precisely. To see how you were reacting to the crime, I guess.
But he never saw me.
So the warden just told me. But Jack came home and told his mother that he had seen you. And that you were cool as a cucumber about the whole thing.
Not quite.
That you'd never felt so much like a man as when you killed your father. That it's the only thing you ever felt good about. Where could he have gotten such an idea?
Oh, I couldn't say for sure, but maybe because that's exactly the way I do feel about it.
You mean that?
Yeah, sure.
No remorse? None at all?
Well, I'd rather not be here, of course, and I know I shouldn't have taken a man's life, but like deep inside, deep in I really care to look at the moment, I know that my whole life had been like leading up to the killing. And it wasn't even that killing, the killing of that man, I mean. It was the killing of my own father.
You don't mean you actually...
No, I didn't kill my own father, though I wanted to. I couldn't do it because I was only 4 years old when he took me to the orphanage and left me there. He never said he was coming back for me, but I always believed he would. I went on believing for a long time.
And when this other man took you out of the orphanage...
Oh, I pretended to myself that my father had come for me. Of course, the pretense didn't work. Pretenses never do.
I'm going to tell you something that I'd rather you didn't repeat to anyone.
Okay.
I have your word.
Yeah, sure, if you need it, you got it.
The warden wouldn't let Jack see you because... Well, I guess it's against regulations, but besides that, Jack had a gun on him. He came home after the warden had turned him down, and he came into my study where I was working, and he reproached me again for letting you live. And he fired a shot at me. His mother came into the room at that moment to tell me about a phone call. And he turned the gun on himself.
Oh, no.
Mind you, no one knows about this.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it'll come out, won't it? How he died.
He isn't dead. He's wounded. He's in the hospital. But he'll live. Now, can you tell me why he should have done such a thing? I mean, I realize you can't possibly know, not really, but I'd like your opinion.
Me? Okay, all right. For what it's worth. I think that, you know, brooding about me, what I'd done, your son read my feelings accurately. Now, whether this was thought transference or telepathy or whatever, I don't know too much about those things. But he discovered that this desire to kill the father is a universal wish.
But I always thought my son loves me.
Oh, he does. I'm sure he does. But that doesn't alter the other feeling, now, does it? I mean, it could keep it from, like, surfacing, but it doesn't really alter it. Nothing does. Nothing can.
It's hard for me to accept the fact that my son tried to kill me.
Oh, but he didn't, don't you see? You mustn't think that. He was standing right close to you, wasn't he, when he fired the shots?
Well, about 6 feet away.
Yeah, and you weren't moving, were you? You weren't trying to stop him?
Well, I was too astonished and perhaps too afraid.
So you were a perfect target, weren't you?
Well, I suppose. Yes, I was.
And yet he missed completely, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, Judge, anyone who could miss a stationary target at 6 feet, he just didn't want to hit it. So he only succeeded in wounding himself. Am I right?
Thank you. From the bottom of my heart. For all you said.
No. Thank you, sir. For my life.
Hello, son. How are you?
Coming along okay, I guess.
That's what the doctors tell me.
Father, lying here thinking, trying to think, I can't understand how it all happened.
It's all right.
I was out of my mind. That's the only way I can figure it. Don't you think so?
I think something like that.
It won't ever happen again.
Oh, Jack. When you went to see the man in jail, the murderer, why'd you take a gun with you?
Oh, yes, a gun.
Did you mean to kill him with it?
Oh, no. No, no.
Did you think you'd do what I hadn't done? Take his life?
No. You see, I thought he'd be so remorseful. I thought he'd be eaten up with remorse and guilt and sorrow for what he'd done. I thought he wouldn't want to live. So I thought I'd just hand him the gun and he'd do the rest.
By that, you mean...
I thought he'd kill himself. But I never got to see him. Did I?
No.
Funny. I thought that for a while I did see him. And we talked a little bit. And he was so arrogant. And he wasn't sorry at all. It was very clear to me at the time. Now I'm not so sure.
Rest, son. It'll all come clear one day soon. Thou shalt not kill. This simple, terse statement is in the book of Exodus. It is not followed by the word except, or the word unless, or any qualifying phrase. No, it reads plainly, thou shalt not kill. We might ask why the Lord thought it necessary to deliver this stern injunction. Can it be for any other reason but that the impulse to kill lies fermenting silently in every human heart? I'll be back shortly.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization working to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you.
I come home in the evening.
Dear listeners, I hope we have not saddened you with our account of the darker side of man's nature. If we have, let me leave you with these lovely words from the Book of Psalms. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Our cast included William Prince, Augusta Dabney, Christopher Tabori, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Well, now, I don't like to strip you of your security blanket, my darling. But you leave me no option.
What are you getting at?
Just this, Jen. Unless you agree to leave things as they are, I'm afraid I shall have to take measures to stop you.
Well, there's nothing you can do to stop me.
Oh, yes. Yes, there really is. I could put you behind bars for murder.
You what?
Frame you.
Frame me? With murder? Are you crazy?
Frame you with a murder you didn't commit and enjoy.
Oh, you are crazy.
Crazy enough to see you put behind bars for 10 to 20 years, at least more than sufficient time for me to enjoy your money. Huh? Now then, will you drop the divorce and reinstate the power of attorney?
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calling for chance of a few showers, some periods of partial clearing through Thursday. A bit warmer with highs in the upper 60s tomorrow, near 70 on Thursday, and lows about 50. 40% chance of rain tonight, dropping off to 30% tomorrow and tomorrow night. And currently in downtown Seattle, 55 degrees. It's 52 at the airport.
Brightened, beautiful music. This is KIXI Seattle.
Time at KIXI, now 11 p.m.
CBS News. A powerful nuclear test explosion will be set off Wednesday morning at the Nevada test site. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The underground test will be conducted by the Energy Research and Development Administration. Spokesman Dave Jackson says the device is 10 times as powerful as the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima in World War II. Wednesday's blast is expected to sway tall buildings in Las Vegas 90 miles to the south. Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau says that his country should continue exporting nuclear reactors because it is one of the best ways to improve the economics of poor countries. Trudeau told a meeting of the Canadian Nuclear Association that he believes it is just as important to strengthen safeguards against the use of nuclear materials in the construction of explosives. Countries buying reactors from Canada must sign a promise not to use them in manufacturing explosives. A group of seven NATO defense ministers has wound up 2 days of nuclear policy talks in Monterey, California. A communique stresses the importance of keeping a balance of nuclear forces in Europe in the next decade and expresses concern over growing Soviet nuclear arms. Ike Pappas has more on the meeting.
Much of the informal conversation at this final day of NATO nuclear talks centered around the communist gains in the Italian election and the Turkish threat to take away American bases if the Congress does not act speedily to lift the four-month-old arms embargo against Turkey. Italian Defense Minister Arnaldo Forlani said the elections were only local, and he doubted the communists would do as well in a national election. NATO Secretary General Joseph Luns admitted the latest developments had left NATO's southern flank weaker politically, but that it remains strong militarily. And U.S. Secretary of Defense James Schlesinger said he understood the Turkish concern over the arms embargo and indicated steps were underway to try to solve the problem without loss of American bases. But Turkish Defense Minister Ferit Milan pointed out the United States is permitted to maintain bases in Turkey in exchange for American military aid. And since that aid has been cut off, then Turkey no longer feels obligated to keep its end of the deal. Mike Pappas, CBS News, Monterey, California.
More in a minute.
As a busy mother, Mrs. Bavardos has no time for pain.
I have three very, very active children. And on many occasions, I get headaches. Anacin gives me very fast relief.
Right, Mrs. Bavardos. While all three leading pain relievers reach an effective level in your bloodstream in minutes, in the final analysis, only Anacin hits and holds the highest level.
And with Anacin, I have my headache gone, and I have no upset stomach.
Next headache, take Anacin for a higher level of pain reliever. Take only as directed.
Hello out there, you all. I'm Mike Roy here, along with Denny Bracken for the ever-popular, it says here, cooking thing over the CBS radio net.
That is pretty self-serving there, don't you think, Chef?
Finds out what we're serving up on the cooking thing tomorrow.
Well, you're doing all the talking. You got the floor. Go ahead.
We're going to talk to some thoroughly delicious cold soups for the summer.
Huh?
Kind that'll be super to serve as a first-course or appetizer.
You're just going to let the soup sit there and get cold, is that
it?
You betcha,
and chill it.
Mike Roy's Cold Soups, tomorrow on The Cook Thing on CBS.
A Senate Judiciary Subcommittee is hearing testimony on violence in the nation's schools. Bernard Shaw reports.
Witnesses from urban, rural, wealthy, and poor school districts told the Senate Subcommittee about the horrors and pain of vandalism and violence in the nation's public schools. Example, New York City teacher Sheila Gutter and a belligerent girl student who tried to leave the dean's office during an interrogation.
An attempt to get in front of her to close the door to keep any outsiders from entering and to keep her from leaving, she turned around and backhandedly karate chopped me in the face.
An 18-year-old student named Debbie from Akron, Ohio, spoke casually of students and weapons.
Most kids carry a weapon with them or something, you know, so they just carry a knife, you know. It's not as bad as a gun.
Chairman Birch Bayh said almost 70,000 teachers are attacked each year. Hundreds of thousands of students are beaten and robbed, and more than $600 million in taxpayers' money is spent on repairing vandalized elementary and high schools. Bernard Shaw, CBS News, Washington.
Now this message.
Nothing beats feeling good about yourself. Like what happens when you use Dial soap. Your whole body seems to come alive. Clean and refreshed. Bright and bouncy. You're one up on the whole world. You just can't buy a better deodorant soap than Dial. Or one that lasts longer.
All that you black, you use Dial.
Food is the basis of
life.
If a child does poorly at his studies, it may be because he's doing poorly at the breakfast table. Good nutrition won't make your child a genius if he isn't, but it can help. Write for the free book entitled Food is More Than Just Something to Eat. Write Nutrition, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Start early.
Very good, Mike.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Johnson & Son, makers of Johnson Wax and other household products, will immediately stop using fluorocarbons for its aerosol products in the U.S. The company says it was influenced by recent scientific data saying fluorocarbons may damage the ozone atmosphere, which protects Earth from ultraviolet rays. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle. This is KIXI. It's now 6 minutes past here.